Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a mid-spa that's located in Pace, Florida. And today, we're going to be talking about one of Chris's very favorite things, controversy. Not necessarily the topic, but controversy in general. He can argue the good or the bad with anything, whether he believes in it or not. It's a talent he's got. I think this goes back to high school because his principal knew that he was going to go to med school and told him he needed to go to law school because he liked to argue so much. So anyway, this is going to be about PDGF.
Yeah, PDGF, platelet-derived growth factor. So it's really all the buzz in aesthetics right now. There's been a lot of controversy around it, as you said. Some pretty well-known injectors and trainers with strong opinions on both sides about whether we should be injecting this product or not. So I think it's timely, it's relevant, it's something that a lot of patients are seeing some results from that are posting about it, and they're seeing injectors that do this, and they're seeing some that say, no, we're not, it's illegal. And so is it illegal? Is it not? Is it a gray area?
The thing is, even like with social media, we all see it, and there's such strong beliefs on both sides of this. And it's really easy to be swayed either way. We were just at Aesthetic Next a couple weeks back, the first part of September, and we had recently gotten the product in the clinic, and neither of us had injected it in ourselves yet or had used it yet. And we sat through Erica Berry and Wasim's presentation and couldn't wait. During the presentation, we were ready to go home and inject. And then the following day,
we sit with Julie Bass Kaplan, with Dr. Suvio, and heard a lot of controversy. And then we got scared of injecting it. And I'm like, well, maybe we shouldn't be injecting it. So within a few days, we went from, we want to do this, we're not going to do this, and then back to, we're going to do it again. And in full transparency, we are not offering this in as injectables to our patient right now. And we'll talk about the reasons why. But we did inject it in each other. So I had my forehead and my under eyes injected. You can still see a little bit of bruise here. If you go on the YouTube channel, you'll see this. I'm slightly bruised under my right eye. Jerry's slightly bruised under his left eye. So both of us bruised a tiny bit from the product, probably more from the injection technique. We're injecting near the eyes. They bruised more than any other area than the actual product. But we'll keep you posted. I've seen beautiful results with this injected. And so anyway, the jury is out. I can tell you that it is approved. It is for topical use, and many practitioners are using this for topical use. The brand name is called Ariessence. So it's a platelet-derived growth factor, PDGF. And it's something that aesthetic providers across the U.S. have been incorporating into their treatment. Now, with the history of this has been around and used for a long time. And this is for patients, I think they're familiar with the concept of PRP or platelet-rich plasma and using their own body as a source to stimulate growth factors so they can have improved collagen and elastin in areas that we inject it. And it's been seen as very safe. It's our own blood. It's our own cells. So we're not going to have any problem with this. But one of the downsides is it took multiple treatment sessions, we may not get as profound of a response. So we had to do it over and over again.
I don't think people realize the difference. I mean, that's a lot of alphabets, like stuff going on in our industry. We've got PRP, PDGF, PRF, all sorts of things. And so I think people kind of bunch that all together and don't really know the difference. And so while one can be very safe, extremely safe, with very little to almost no risk, then we have a new one that enters the market that is slightly different.
So let's just dive into what PDGF is. So there's some aesthetic providers that still may not understand it, and there are some patients for sure that never heard of this. So PRP is platelet-rich plasma. And when we draw it, we know that there are multiple growth factors and multiple bioactive components that we're using. So PDGF is one of those. So if we look at the list of some of the things that are most active in PRP, PDGF or platelet-derived growth factor is one of them. We have VEGF or vascular endothelial growth factor. We have TGF-beta, EGF or epidermal growth factor, and IGF-1. Those are some of the top ones. So they're, like you said, a lot of initials, but when we draw your plasma and we try to select out the platelet portion, those are the growth factors that we're trying to harness and get more of. So what this company has done is they have PDGF or one of those components, and it's in a very concentrated form from a select group of patients that they harvest this from that they've been using for a variety of things over the years. And so you want to talk a little bit about what it's been used for? Or do you want me to dive into that?
I think a lot of times it's even used almost in some of the areas that are interchangeable with some of the other things. The most popular, or one of the most popular, and the areas that it's gotten some really, really super results is in the under eye area.
I was wanting to back up a little further than that. You're right. That is where we're going in.
We'll take it then.
In aesthetics. But I want to talk about some approved, not controversial things first. I think it's important to understand that because then people can understand why there's controversy. So when we look at PDGF and put the initials BB behind it, it's basically a recombinant form of this human-derived growth factor, right? Platelet-derived growth factor. And they're using it for things like diabetic foot ulcers. So these diabetics that had poor wound healing and had foot problems where they would just stay there and they would have these foot ulcers or sores for months and sometimes years. They found if we can apply this in a concentrated form, we can accelerate healing for there. It's also been used in orthopedics for different orthopedic injuries. It's been used in dentistry and oral surgery where they had an approved packed granule form of this that they could pack up in a cavity to promote bone growth. So they would get this ready to insert an implant. And so that has been around and that has been approved for many years in that form. We did not have an approved form in aesthetics at all. So when we looked at things like under eye area, it wasn't approved. So this company has made this and it's the same company that makes all of these other forms that are approved injectables. So it's the same product. It's coming from the same manufacturing facility, same lot number. And so just like we do with other things off-label, it was assumed that we could use this off-label. But when we started injecting it in tear troughs and getting these great results, this is where the controversy comes into play. So I'll let you take it from there in terms of what are some of the common areas for aesthetics? So tear troughs, I would say, is probably the home run. That's where people are seeing these amazing results with it.
I think tear trough is kind of what really opened the door to people trying it in other areas. But I'll tell you the other thing that the results that I've seen have been extremely impressive is the hair growth. Hair growth is one of those things that's important to people if they're going through it. And so people will do anything to get hair back. And all of a sudden we have something new that's on the market that's, you know, relatively safe that we can use even, we can use it in microneedle form. It doesn't have to be injected. I don't think we've mentioned that.
Well, it's approved, the approved use, if we want to say exactly about what they're saying, we've studied and that's okay to use it, is topical. And so when we say topical, it means that we're just putting it on the skin topically, like on as like a lotion or a cream. And so when we do things like microneedling or plexor or plexor shower or electroporation, any of those things improves the ability of this to get absorbed better.
Yeah, but it's been used a lot in that, like you said, in other areas. For instance, for you, we did it in your forehead.
So across the board, I think the other impressive areas that we've seen is hair growth. And so just like we use PRP, some of the results of patients who have injected this in their scalp for hair growth have been like the most impressive results of anything that I've seen injectable. So hair, tear troughs, really all over the face, you can use this as a regenerative therapy. There are some providers that are using this for sexual health. So instead of PRP for P-shots and O-shots, they're injecting PDGF. But with the product also, because it is concentrated, it's pretty potent. There have been some side effects.
The lingering redness can last for up to months. It's not a few days like what we've had with other things. Some bumps is another thing that can last up to several weeks. We had one of the injectors, Erica Berry, that spoke on this. She was a consumer as well. And she said she had numbness, tingling, to the point that she was pretty concerned and even called the Waseem that had injected her and told her some things she's going through. And these are people that are used to having procedures done. So it was concerning enough to her that she was worried enough to call. So I'm sure there are other symptoms or side effects out there as well.
Yeah. So I think the prolonged redness, maybe nodules, things that we can anticipate that it hasn't been studied. It's what makes some people wary to do this and some consumers. So I really think if you're a patient considering this therapy, then you need to talk to your injector and make sure that they're experienced with the injecting of the product. We've seen some amazing before and after, but these are all anecdotal. These are not controlled trials. And so there's no follow-up as of now that says, hey, if we injected in these reasons into healthy tissue, into normal tissue for our regeneration, that it's going to be okay, that it's not going to cause things down the road that we may not know about yet. We've used PRP safely for years, so my gut instinct, my opinion is that it's okay, but I also like to make informed and science-based decisions. And, you know, if I follow that line of thinking, I have to acknowledge that there has not been controlled trials to look at this injected into healthy tissue. And certainly if you're looking at it from a legal and a regulatory standpoint, we are taking a topical product. It's clearly labeled if you're using the brand Ariessence. If you're not using another form of this that's approved for injection in other areas, you're not using it off label. You're using a topical product and you're making it an injectable.
Well, I think the other thing is what happens when it's injected into tissue that's not healthy. That's one of the big concerns that that we talked about, because it can cause replication of.
I mean, they're using it on some not healthy tissue like diabetic ulcers to promote healing, but it may promote cell division more rapidly. So if we inject it into an area of like cancer or cancer cells, so we wouldn't use it in those areas. So like if you had some sort of localized skin cancer in one of the groups, the discussion groups that I'm in, there's a recent discussion about non-HIV associated Kaposi sarcoma. So that's those dark lesions that, you know, we associate most commonly with immune deficiency and HIV. However, there are non-HIV cases. And this was an older Mediterranean gentleman that had, and they were talking about using this as a treatment. And there was lots of caution because of putting that in that area. So providers are using this in a number of ways that have not been studied or approved. To me, if you just ask my you know, personal opinion, I would be very concerned and I would not put it into any sort of suspicious area. So if I thought about cancer cells at all, abnormal cells, I would not. Sexual health, sexual dysfunction. I think most of you guys listening to us know that we have a busy sexual health practice that we've had for many, many years, and treated a lot of people for erectile dysfunction, for painful intercourse, or you know, perimenopausal, vaginal dryness, stress incontinence, and all those things. We've used PRP now for over a decade with no side effects. So occasionally it's not effective. For the most part, it is effective. We have very few patients that don't respond, but occasionally we won't get a response. And so, you know, the question is, could we use this in lieu of the patient's own plasma or PRP? Would you use it now in your sexual health patients, your erectile dysfunction? What's your thoughts?
Not yet.
Can I ask why?
Because there's just a lack of study.
So lack of study, but what? So if this was me or you that was going to get the treatment, and we obviously, so there's a lack of study in the forehead and tear troughs and we did it. So what would stop you from injecting it in your penis?
So in my penis personally, we've talked before on the podcast about like the, when I had a bout of Peyronie's, and I think that's a tissue that's not normal that I would not want to replicate because of the increased risk for scarring there.
But we use PRP to treat Peyronie's, and we treat it effectively with PRP.
I told you all you like to argue. Would you use it in your penis?
No, but I'm scared of injections in my penis, period. Like, I don't like injections anywhere in my body.
Would you use it in my penis?
I don't know. Like, that's why I'm interested in your perspective. So my concern would be with Peyronie's, it is abnormal tissue. And it usually it can be plaques, it can be fibrotic tissue. And I would be concerned that if we put too much in one area rather than having regeneration of normal tissue, that we would get more dense tissue or perhaps worsen it. So I would not be prone to do that.
You
right.
know what I would do with it, and I haven't thought about this, what I would do with it, and that would probably guide my treatment of Fromy's. I would treat a psoriasis plaque with it. A psoriasis plaque on the skin, I would treat that and see how it responded on myself.
So why would that influence your decision about putting it? Because I'm thinking about...
Because if it's going to increase the plaque tissue, then I would not. If it increases, if it improves the healthy tissue rather than plaque tissue, then I think it would be beneficial.
Interesting, because I don't know that the plaques are the same, and I think maybe the underlying cause of Peyronie's is would have to be taken into consideration then in that case. If it's from something like a traumatic injury, like rough sex, and it bends the penis, then, you know, I think that's a different mechanism than when you have an autoimmune condition and you have some sort of buildup that's causing this curvature. I know the approved treatment, and one of the things that we talk about is Xiflex, which is a collagenase histiolyticum. So it's dissolving collagen. And so you're having these abnormal collagen bands that we dissolve with collagenase. So to me, if we're injecting a very concentrated form of something that promotes collagen development, we could potentially worsen it.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know the answer. And I think that's the bottom line, is anybody who is confidently telling you they know the answer, then please share where you're getting that information and where the studies, because I'm open to trying new things. I want to be on the forefront. But anybody who has followed us for any period of time knows over and over and over again, we kind of have three things that we talk about. We teach our students about it. I go over this in my business coaching and consulting, but we always say safety first. And so any treatment that we provide in here, we're going to do everything we can do to ensure that you're safe. So from the way that we administer it, the way that we choose to prep the skin and deliver it, to the product that we choose. So if we're bringing a product in, we want something that has been studied and approved by the FDA and that we know that we can get safe results. Number two is the efficacy. So anything that we do, we want to make sure that it's effective and we're getting results from it that we promise the patient. And then number three is the business side of things. And it's like making sure that the safe and effective treatments are also making sense from a business standpoint. We can't choose something that we're going to go out of business. So when we look at this particularly, and people say we want to use it off label, if you look at the ones that are approved for injection, they are very expensive, into the thousands of dollars, versus the ones that are approved topically are a couple of $100s. So when people are taking one form and interchanging it with the other without any science or studies to show behind that, I think we're violating rule number one, which is, are we always providing safe treatment? Now, you know, there are very well-known people that I respect greatly in this industry that are injecting it. And so I want to be clear that if they're doing this and they're monitoring for side effects, some of them are participating in trials for this, but they're making well-informed decisions. They understand the risks that they're taking on as a provider. And knowing these providers and kind of at least what they're promoting, my presumption is that they're having these informed discussions with their patients. And I think that's key. If you're going to venture down this pathway, make sure your patients understand we don't really know exactly what this is going to do. For you and me personally, we've decided that we're going to keep it in topical use in the practice because we're having amazing results with that. From a microneedling and a topical application, or plexor and topical application, we're seeing amazing results with that. It's one of my favorite treatments that I've had done. Like, I want you to do it again. I think I had probably some of the most impressive results after that treatment personally of anything we've had done. So we are using it in that manner. We're closely watching the science and the studies on this because we may start injecting this, you know, in the future. And we did inject it into each other. So I always say that there, you know, are some things that we may be willing to take on personally, but I'm not going to do with our patients right now because we're not wanting to expose them to any unnecessary risk until we're sure something is safe.
I agree 100%.
300%. All right.
No argument for me.
Are you ready to inject it into your family?
It depends on which family member it is.
I want to inject it into my mom for her hair.
I would inject it into my mom for her eyes because she'd love it.
Yeah. So I think you guys see that we tend to err, like for us personally, we are being influenced somewhat and we tend to lean on the side that it is safe or we wouldn't be injecting the family. So I think that's the other thing is people say, well, you're a little bit edgy. You guys are in this industry. You'll take risks with each other that you wouldn't take. But I can assure you that I would not do anything to my mom that I thought in any way would hurt her, right? It would be the last for either of us.
I think we can also say that with each other. Like, I would never inject in your forehead if I thought it was going to cause you harm.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. But I'm just saying, I think we're a little more risky. Like, I may do something like myself that you would say, Chris, why did you do that? Or vice versa. We've done things before and I'm like, Jerry, why did you do that? Because we're all a little bit more willing to push the limits, push the margins on our own personal treatments. But I agree with you. Like, we'll bring each other in check. I think that's the good thing about, you know, having a spouse, having a partner in business that will look out for your safety, because we wouldn't do that. But I also, like I said, I want to throw it out there because anybody that knows us knows we're mama's boys, right? Our friend Sandy always says, like, she wished she had a gay son, because she's like, you gay boys love your mamas.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And so, you know, when you hear both of us say that we would inject it into our moms, we feel pretty safe about it. But we're also not willing to, like, take that risk with our patients who trust us with their safety, because that's why I think they want to see us, a safety and good results. So,
and on a side note, Matt, she's very proud that you have Fallon.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you all next week.
We'll see you soon.